It's time to get geared up with GeekWire's weekly tech and gadget show. Here are your hosts, Todd Bishop and Andrew Edwards.
Welcome to Geared Up from GeekWire.com in Seattle. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
We've got a great show, tons of news to talk about this
week. Yeah.
The Samsung Galaxy S8. Andrew was in New York.
Right. Oh my gosh.
For the event.
Yes.
We got tons to talk about. Plus the Windows 10 Creators Update. I've been going hands-on with that. I'll be able to share some of my impressions.
Is that a big deal?
We'll talk about it.
All right.
And Andrew actually has the elusive iPhone Red on
site. Is it elusive still? I hope it's not elusive anymore. But yeah, we have one of those here. We have two of them here, actually. And as well as the retail edition, the retail version, the release version of the LG G6, which is going to be one of the main competitors, if not the main competitor, to the Samsung Galaxy S8.
So if you're just new to the show, this is a weekly news and hands-on reviews of the hottest games, gadgets, high-tech gear.
Yes.
You can hear us on the radio, on the podcast. Just go to geekwire.com/geared up. You can also go to youtube.com/Andrew Edwards,
right.
Andrew with a U.
Right, or Gear Live. youtube.com/Gear Live works as well.
Subscribe on Facebook. We also do live videos of this if you're hearing on the podcast. So
Right. Subscribe
at any one of those places and you can get notified when we go live. So let's jump in with the Samsung Galaxy
S8. Before you do that, just because you kind of glossed over it.
Yeah.
This is a podcast now that you can actually go and subscribe to.
Yes.
So go into iTunes, search for Geared Up, and you'll find us. Please do subscribe. Please do leave a rating. And that will help us out a lot because we just launched the podcast there and we want to get this out to more people. So, again, go to iTunes, iTunes Store. You can subscribe to the podcast right there for the audio.
You can also find that at geekwire.com/geared up. There's an iTunes link right there. Okay.
Perfect.
All right. I want to talk about the S8
because you were just in New York.
So Samsung is trying to rebound here. Now, the Samsung Galaxy Note 7 was not the analogous device to the S8, but they have something to prove here. They want to show that they are still in the smartphone game. Andrew, you saw it.
Yep.
You went hands-on with it. What do you think of the Samsung Galaxy S8?
It is a very interesting device. So, you know, it was interesting what Samsung said during the presentation and what they didn't say during the presentation. So they definitely addressed the fact that the past year was a difficult year for Samsung. They didn't say why. They didn't say our phones were blowing up. They didn't say that. But they did also talk about their new 8-point inspection system for their batteries so that they're really testing these batteries. If one battery blows up in a batch, and I think a batch is like 15,000 batteries, if one shows any issue, they send the entire batch back and they want a whole new batch basically. So they do want to make sure that that problem pretty much is gone, never happens again. The other thing is Samsung really was focusing on the fact that, you know, in their mind and probably, you know, I don't know if it's reality or not, but to them, the announcement of the Galaxy S8 is equal to the reveal of the first iPhone. So to them, this form factor, along with some of the software stuff that they're doing, they see as the next evolution in smartphones, where before it was the hardware keyboard with a little screen. Apple released a touchscreen, the glass and metal, and the glass is where all your content lives. And now they're saying the next evolution of that is going to be this bezel-less display where it basically looks like you're just holding a piece of glass.
So we're looking at it on the screen here
behind
us. This is a very nice-looking phone.
It is.
It essentially is a piece of glass that curves very subtly on the sides.
Right.
And this does some really interesting things in terms of the proportion of the phone, because when you take away the bezel, you get a ton of screen size in a smaller package.
Right. And it really is a ton of screen size. It's crazy because, you know, I have the iPhone 7 Plus. That's what I carry around with me. I have every phone that you can imagine, but the one that I grab when I leave the house is the iPhone 7 Plus. And putting it next to the 5.8-inch Galaxy S8, so that's a smaller version, the iPhone dwarfed the Galaxy S8.
So we're actually looking at it here on the screen behind us. So we've got here the iPhone 7 Plus. Is that right?
iPhone 7 Plus, 5.5-inch display, corner to corner.
And the Samsung Galaxy S8, the display is how large?
That's 5.8 inches.
So it's the display is larger than the iPhone 7 Plus, and yet the iPhone 7 Plus device is larger than the Samsung Galaxy
S8. You can see right here, like the iPhone itself is larger, right? But if you look at the display, is bigger than the display on the iPhone. And then on the right-hand side of it, this is a device that's pretty much the same size as the iPhone 7 Plus, but the display here is 6.2 inches. So 5.5 versus 6.2, and you're getting it in a device that's thinner and smaller. So that really is, you know, it's fantastic. When you hold this device in your hand, it's great. And going back to what I said last week about Robert Scoble, when he talked about expecting that clear phone, when you take the Samsung Galaxy S8 or S8 Plus and you go into the camera and you tell the camera that you wanted to use the entire display, so don't show any buttons or anything, it looks like the phone disappears. You're just looking through it. And that, I think, is what we're going to see with the augmented reality and mixed reality. And in fact, they even announced some of those features for this phone.
So, like, for example, what you'll be able to sort of hold it up and have it augment the world. And it just looks like something's on top of the world.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't look like you're holding a phone.
Not just that, but it goes further because they announced Bixby. Bixby is their new assistant. But they're going so deep in with Bixby that they put a dedicated button on the device. So, yeah, if you look on the left-hand side of the device, beneath the volume rocker, that's the Bixby button. That button is dedicated to you pulling up their voice assistant. And that assistant is supposed to do more than just, you know, things like Siri and Alexa. It actually is supposed to be able to do anything you can do by tapping on the screen. And one thing it can do, though, is when you bring up the camera, you bring up Bixby and you point it at something. Their example was a Flatiron building in New York. You point at the Flatiron building and it recognizes that's the Flatiron building. Do you want to walk there? It'll take you, you know, 5 minutes from here. Do you want to find restaurants around it? Or any, like, you just point it and it knows what it's looking at and it brings up contextual information.
That's interesting because Samsung is known as a hardware company. They obviously do a lot of software customizations.
Right.
This sounds to me like the most advanced piece of software that I've heard from Samsung.
That's true. I would say so. It's very unique, very interesting, and it's one of the two major features, in my opinion, of this device. In fact, you know, there wasn't a lot besides the display and Bixby that they had to talk about. Like the camera on the back is the same camera that was on the S7 and that was on the Note 7. So they're using the same camera again here on this device. The front camera has been improved with autofocus because a lot of selfies are blurry because, you know, people have their arm out and they can't focus. So it's autofocus. That's cool. But the real big innovations they're showing here are the display, the size of the body, and Bixby. So I don't know. What do you think?
So you said that there was one other, though. Were you referring to the ability to use the phone as a PC?
Oh, right. Yes. So that's called, I believe they called that Dex.
Yes.
And you can dock the phone and plug it into a monitor. So if you have a USB-C monitor, for example, you just plug it right into the phone and it'll bring up a PC-like interface. So you can use a keyboard and mouse and, you know, open up like a real email program and add attachments and, you know, you have a desktop and everything. And these phones are so powerful now that, you know, like the processor, for example, going back to the iPhone, the processor in the iPhone 7 Plus is actually faster than the processor in the MacBook from 2 years ago. So these are becoming, you know, for all intents and purposes, they are PC class, you know, low level PC class devices. So it's cool that now, you know, you can have your Galaxy S8 and you can also use that as your, you know, if you just do lightweight stuff like email and, you know, Word documents and all that, you can use this as your device on the go.
I got to tell you, looking at these pictures, I have an iPhone 6S Plus, so
okay.
I'm a generation behind.
Right.
I'm due for an upgrade.
You are.
Looking at the iPhone 7 Plus compared to the Galaxy S8
right.
and the screen size and the device size, this would cause me to go to Samsung. And
yeah.
I'm seriously looking at this. Like, this is a beautiful device.
Yes, it is.
And a large screen. And I'll tell you, I kind of am in a little bit of denial over the size of my iPhone. I mean, I put it in my pocket, in some of my pants, it does not fit well. You know, it's like, you've run into this. Like, you sit down in a chair and it's like, oh my
yeah,
God, I got
yeah,
this
yeah.
big wedge in my pocket.
But it's not just that. I mean, even when it's in my hand, like, you know, there are definitely times where it's in my hand and I'm using it one hand and it's like, I have to like negotiate my hand around the phone to do stuff.
And part of that is because you're wrapping your hand around the bezel.
Yes, exactly. Someone just mentioned here, I didn't see who it was, but someone mentioned that the display on the S8 Plus is as big as the Switch.
Yes,
which
I saw that.
It is. That's true. The Switch is 6.2 inches, but again, the fact that it's curved here, and the Switch has like large bezels, but when you think of it that way, like they really put a great display on these phones, and the resolution is now 18.5 by 9. So instead of 16 by 9, it's 18.5 by 9. So they're longer. That allows it to have to be larger as well and be thinner.
So pricing and availability for people who are wondering when and how much they're gonna have
April
to pay.
April 21st comes out April 21st on all carriers. And the pricing is $750 and $850, depending on if you want the 8 or 8 plus. And I agree with them. I think they're bringing about a new form factor into smartphones, and they did it first, and anyone that does it after them is following. They're the follower. So we'll see what Apple comes up with next. The big rumor is they're doing something very similar, but again, Samsung did it first here, and they did it in a pretty amazing way.
All right, we are talking about the Samsung Galaxy S8 this week. It's Todd Bishop, Andrew Edwards, geared up on GeekWire. We'll be right back with more. Welcome back. We're talking all about the Samsung Galaxy S8 this week on Geared Up on GeekWire. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
So, Andrew, we've been interacting with the YouTube comments and the Facebook comments here during the break. A few questions from people out there who are watching on the stream, including stuff about the screen. They really want to know about the resolution of the screen.
Slayer 768 asked about the screen. Is the screen still in 2K? It's actually very interesting. The screen is quad HD, but out of the box, they set it to 1080p.
So what is that? I have no idea what you just said.
So you know how like you have a computer monitor, you can choose your resolution, right? So instead of going with the max resolution that the phone supports, Samsung puts it at 1080p, which is, not as good.
Gotcha.
But saves the battery.
Oh.
Because one thing that stuck out to people, or maybe some people didn't realize this, the batteries in these phones, despite them being bigger than last year's phones, are smaller. They're being very conservative with the battery. They do not want, they're just being smart. They're playing it safe. The batteries are not as big. You have 3,000 milliamp hours and 3,500 milliamp hours. And so by setting the display to 1080p, they're basically able to stretch out the battery life. But you're not getting as sharp of an image.
Gotcha.
So you can go into the settings and you can bump it back up to quad HD. But out of the box, if you don't know to do that, you're going to have a 1080p display, which I think is a little silly. I don't like that. Josh Ferguson was talking about the biometrics. Fingerprint sensor location sucks. Yes, it does. The fingerprint sensor is literally right next to the camera, and it's on the back. So this is not an S8. Don't get all crazy, guys. This is the LG G6. This is the Verizon model. Big shout out to – well, actually, Verizon didn't send it over. But big shout out to Verizon anyway because they do not lock their phones. But on the back is the fingerprint sensor. So you see here on the G6, fingerprint sensor right there by itself.
Okay.
No big deal. On the S8 – you've got the camera here and the fingerprint sensor right next to it on the back. So a lot of people are saying, I'm going to be smudging up my camera.
Right next to the camera.
Trying to find the fingerprint sensor, which is true if you want to use it. But there's other ways to unlock the Galaxy S8. You've got, obviously, a PIN code if you want to do that. You've got the fingerprint sensor. It also has the retina scanning again, so you can open it with your eyes, but it takes an eye print.
Right.
And then the fourth way, which is the fastest way, probably not as secure because I think it's more general, but it's facial recognition. So basically, when you lift up the phone, you turn it on, it automatically reads your face and says, oh, it's Andrew, unlocking it. And
so
it's instant.
You don't have to do a PIN. You don't have to do any kind. You don't have to press the button.
Right.
You don't have to press the home button. It knows who you are.
It knows who you are. But again, obviously, if you're let's say you're twins with somebody, it'll probably open up for your identical twin.
No, come on.
Versus
because it's scanning. If it's scanning your retina.
No. So no, that's
different.
There's retina scanning and there's face recognition.
Gotcha.
So the facial recognition is not going to be as secure as the retina scanning, but the retina scanning is slower.
So
what I'm saying?
Yes, not for twins.
Right.
Basically.
Right. Exactly. But I mean, it is instant. And I'm not sure how if me and another bald guy with a similar head shape.
No.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Because, and I'll tell you, I have some experience with this. We're going to talk a little bit later on about the Windows 10 Creators Update. Windows has a technology called Windows Hello, which also does something very similar. They've upgraded it, enhanced it a lot in Windows 10 Creators Update.
Okay.
This stuff is high tech.
Okay.
I mean, it gets down to little millimeters of differences in your face. I really feel good about biometrics in terms of the long-term potential to get rid of passwords.
That's cool. That's cool. So, yeah, I think the fastest way and the easiest way is if you just turn on the facial recognition if you have the S8. You basically just turn your phone on and it instantly opens up and sees you. And I think that's really cool.
So we're talking, if you're just joining us, about the new Samsung Galaxy S8. Todd Bishop with Andrew Edwards. Andrew just got back from the unveiling of this product
yesterday
in New York City. So one other interesting note on this, T-Mobile came out with a big announcement related to the Galaxy S8. They are going to have what they call gigabit class speeds. Now, it's a little bit deceiving. I actually went to the T-Mobile lab in Bellevue.
When was it?
To see this Monday.
Why didn't they tell a brother to come by?
I think you were in New York.
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
So I went and I witnessed in an RF blocking chamber, so no signals getting into that thing.
Okay.
I witnessed this thing getting up to nearly 1 gigabit down. It was like 890 and then over 900 megabits per second.
What phone were they using? Or what were they
Samsung Galaxy S8. So,
you had an embargo then?
Yes, I had an embargo. Exactly. I saw this thing before you did.
Wow,
Andrew,
look at you.
Look at that.
Did you hold it?
No.
Okay.
It was a very controlled environment.
Okay.
At any rate, what's interesting is there are these three technologies that T-Mobile has rolled out on its network, 4x4 MIMO, 256 QAM, and then carrier aggregation.
Right.
So previously, all of those things could be used separately by, for example, the Galaxy S7.
Okay.
But what Samsung has enabled in this new device is to aggregate those three things, and they're additive.
Simultaneously.
So it creates much more speed, much more capacity.
Okay.
It was screaming. Now, they say in the real world, out in the wild, you'll get hundreds of megabits per second down, which
still
is
fantastic.
They say you can basically download a 2-hour movie in 15 seconds, 2-hour HD movie.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, what about the upload speed? Did he mention that at all?
I did not talk to them about the upload speeds. I realized that afterward. That's that is one situation.
Okay.
Obviously, download speeds are usually the big
especially
focus
when you're on mobile. Yeah, download speeds are key. But still, that's cool. And so the Galaxy S8 is the first and only device announced as of today that works with that technology.
That's right.
So if you want those, are they saying that's going to work like day one?
Essentially.
Wow.
It's about 300 markets that T-Mobile has where those three things are enabled. So
if you have this phone and you buy it on day one and you're in one of those markets,
That's right.
Oh, wow.
And then this starts to make sense because T-Mobile is making this big push toward unlimited data.
Right.
And so, because one of my big questions was, how much am I going to have to pay for all that extra speed?
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, it's just if you're on an unlimited plan, it's not really an issue.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Okay. I'm excited. I actually switched over to T-Mobile recently. And
how's it going for you?
It's been fine. It's been fine. Surprisingly fine.
I'm like the beta tester who went through all the pain for the past 3 years, and now you're coming along.
Wait, so are you still with them, or did you leave?
No, I'm still with them.
So,
I just like to sit here and complain about it.
Okay. No, it's, because, again, AT&T, they weren't going unlimited, and then they did, and it was just horrible.
Okay.
So it was basically, am I going to go with Verizon, or am I going to go with T-Mobile? And then T-Mobile every Tuesday has all those cool deals.
Yes.
Now, do you use those?
I don't.
Oh, come on.
I know.
I have taken advantage of them every week.
What have you gotten through the
I've gotten like
T-Mobile
two free
Tuesdays.
Large pizzas. I've gotten 25%, 25 cents per gallon off of gas. I've gotten like 4 free streaming movie rentals. Those are like $5 each. Basically, as far as value, I'm going to get a year's worth of MLB.
Yeah.
Online, that's like $200
right there. Actually, I take that back. I have used that in the past.
Okay.
Before, that was not part of T-Mobile Tuesdays. You just got it.
Right, right.
So
But everybody gets T-Mobile Tuesdays anyway. But I think as of now, I've been with them for about 5 weeks, and I have gotten, just in those bonuses, roughly $200 worth of stuff that I've gotten. So that's pretty cool. Plus 20% off for life.
All right. So that's our rundown of the Samsung Galaxy S8. We're going to take a break on the podcast. We will be right back after this. All right. Welcome back to Geared Up from GeekWire.com in Seattle. I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
We are talking about the Samsung Galaxy S8. We're also going to touch at least briefly on the Windows 10 Creators Update in this segment, and also talk about Andrew's iPhone Red.
Mm-hmm.
Last item on the Galaxy S8, you're holding in your hand something that it looks like a little webcam on a stick.
This is the new Samsung Gear 360. So Samsung pretty much every year has to kind of update. They don't have to, but you know they definitely have to update the Gear VR because the camera's form factors change, or the smartphone's form factor changes. So they release a new one. And then they also release this little updated version of the Gear 360 camera. So this year, this does 360-degree photos and videos at 4K resolution.
Wow.
So you can live stream to YouTube or Facebook Live.
360-degree videos.
360. So if we put this in the middle of the room or on that tripod right there and set it to start live streaming, people that were watching could, they'd be watching us, but they can take their mouse or their finger and swipe and see, you know, see what's behind us, see the whole room. So if we were having like a roundtable discussion, they would be able to actually scroll around and see everybody
as they're
at
talking.
The table. Yeah.
So how does this work? Does it stream through the connection on the phone?
This, I believe, connects to your Wi-Fi network.
Connects to your Wi-Fi network.
So you connect it to your Wi-Fi network through your phone, through the app on the phone.
Got it.
And then this connects to your Wi-Fi. And then there's a record, like you turn it on, there's a record button right there, and that's it.
We'll have to try this out.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah, maybe
cool.
We will. Maybe next week we'll do a regular, and then we'll also do a 360 version.
Let's see if we can get for people who missed the beginning, we've been trying a new video audio setup. And
it was crazy.
And we bailed on it after an hour and a half.
Yes.
I was joking. Maybe we should name the show Gear Down this week.
Oh, man. It was horrible. All right. So what else?
That's
the Gear VR.
Yeah.
No, that's the Gear 360 camera.
Okay, cool. So you ready to move on from the...
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk briefly.
Briefly.
Because I would like to do a more comprehensive hands-on with this.
Okay.
The Windows 10 Creators Update. This is the second major update to Windows 10.
So this is a major update.
This is a major update.
See, I didn't realize that, because when I heard Creators Update, I was like, oh, that's just a little something they're adding.
No. This is an annual update to Windows.
Okay.
Adds a number of new features. One of them is a pretty big update to the Microsoft Edge browser, which I'm showing you right here.
Okay.
So it's a small thing, but they essentially created a way to save the state of your browser tabs very easily, to set them aside, they call it. So you can click a button. So you've got a bunch of browser tabs open.
I have so many.
You click a button, it sets them aside. So the prototypical example is, hey, you know, you're studying for a test, you've got all sorts of tabs open.
Right.
You want to watch Netflix, just press a button, it sets them aside, and then it saves all of your state. And basically you can go back and pick which state you want to go back to in terms of the tabs that you had. So that's number one. It also is big, and this is one of the reasons they call it the Creators Update. 3D is a big thing here. So first off, it supports a new class of Windows holographic devices.
Okay.
They're going to be coming out in the range of $300 later this year from a variety of different OEMs.
Holographic devices meaning what?
Meaning like HoloLens type devices. So augmented reality devices.
Yeah.
And then it also, were you ever a big user of Microsoft Paint?
A big user of Microsoft Paint?
Yeah,
I wouldn't consider myself a big user. Used it a couple times in my life.
For some people, I mean, this is like the big graphic design program for some people.
Wow.
I know it's not exactly Photoshop, but this update includes a new version of Paint that lets you create objects in 3D.
Okay.
So this is cool. And so if you think about combining this with something like the Surface Studio, the big desktop, I can see that you're not on board with Windows, Andrew.
I don't get excited about Windows. I mean, the stuff that you're talking about Paint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
This is an annual update and we've updated Paint.
Yes.
Like
it's sort of the collection of things.
Right.
There's
and then like the browser tab, like to me, these sound like updates that's a cool update, but that I don't have to wait for an annual update to be able to just move my browser tab. Like that should just be hey, here's a new idea we came up with.
That is true.
So it's like I'm not seeing a lot of cool stuff yet. A
couple other things. There is a new mode. This is something else, but there is a new mode that allows you to give system preferences that give preference to your game. So if you're playing a game and you've got other processes running in the background, it gives priority to the game. So
that's
another one. They have integrated Beam game streaming.
That's their new Twitch competitor.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that's another one. And then this, which is showing on the screen behind us, they are actually competing with Amazon now. They've got an ebook store inside the Windows store in the new Windows 10 Creators
Update. What are they doing?
It's a good question. It was funny. I went to a briefing on this, and I was there with a couple other reporters, and all of us covered, Amazon as well. And so all of us keyed in on this. It's like, what are you doing with an ebook store? And they didn't own it. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It wasn't like, yeah, we're going all in on ebooks. It was kind of like, yeah, this is sort of a new feature. It was sort of on the level of what you saw with the tab saving.
Right, right.
In the Edge browser.
That's crazy, though.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
So, at any rate, so you got that. It's for people who are wondering, EPUB format, also PDF. The only place you can read the books, though, is in the Edge browser. So you can't, unless you like do a converted.
Why?
Yeah, exactly.
Why?
I know. So there's that.
Nothing beats Kindle when it comes to that.
I know. That's terrible. Yeah.
Terrible.
So that's the Windows 10 Creators Update. I would like to, maybe we can do a future episode where my mission will be to convince you to switch to Windows 10 based on some feature. I'm a Mac user.
I was about
as well.
To say, you don't even use it. You don't even use Windows 10. Why would you want to
use it?
How are
I don't
you
use it.
Me?
I don't use it day to day, but I do use it and I appreciate it.
Okay.
I think it's a good operating
system.
Fair
enough.
Certainly better than Windows 8. But Windows 7 is still by far the largest.
Right.
In terms of market share.
And that really frustrates Microsoft.
It does. So they're trying to get people to move up. Although Windows at this point, not really the center of Microsoft as it has been in the past. They've got a lot of other things going on.
Yes, that's true.
And if you ask, I got to talk to Bill Gates mm-hmm. a few weeks ago, and I asked him, my friend Bill, what do you think about what's going on at Microsoft these days? He cited Office as sort of the place where he sees a lot of the innovation happening when you look at things like bots and artificial intelligence mm-hmm. and the future of productivity. Whereas in the past, if you asked Ballmer or Gates in the heyday of Microsoft what the most important product was, Windows would have been the answer.
Right.
All right.
Not that Office is that exciting, but okay.
Okay. All right. So last thing here.
This is the red iPhone.
Yes. And this was what I was skeptical about. I mean, who cares about it being red, apart from the do-gooder aspect
of
this
phone? Well, that's the whole point. See, that's what I think a lot of people were missing. Almost everybody that I've seen reviewing the phone, doing videos of the phone, commenting on the phone, are all saying, it's just a new color. Who cares? This is Apple being desperate because the S8's about to be released or the G6 about to be released, and they just need to put a new color out there to bump sales. And I'm like, why is everyone focused on the color and not the cause? So remember last week, Edwin Soto left us a message that said they donated over $60 million. But that actually was as of 2014. As of now, it's over $130 million to the Red Foundation, Global Fund to Fight AIDS. That's really cool. And no product, I mean, I can guarantee this, there's no red product they've ever released that's going to sell as well as this. So this product, just by the fact that it's a product red device, is going to mean a lot more donations go towards the Global Fund to Fight HIV and AIDS, and that is a good thing.
So do you like it? Do you like the phone?
Here, well, no, you open it. I mean, okay, it's the same phone. It is the exact same phone as the iPhone 7 or an iPhone 7 Plus in any other color.
But I saw one of your videos. Isn't there something different about the screen?
No.
Oh, okay.
The display is the same. Everything's the same. It's just the color is different. The whole screen thing was people were upset, mad. You know how people get with devices like this.
Yeah.
They weren't liking the fact that the display wasn't black. They were like, why did they put a white glass display on here instead of the black display?
So in other words, so this would be black.
The bezel.
The bezel would be black.
So they were saying like it would look so much better if it was black and red than white and red.
You know what?
And I did a video specifically on that addressing it because product red is white. Like that's their brand. The brand is white and red.
This would look way cooler if it was black.
It would. In fact, another YouTuber out there, Danny Winget, actually bought one of these and then bought a jet black iPhone, took both of them apart, and built his own black and red iPhone 7. And it looks amazing. I saw it the other day. So, I mean, yeah, it looks fantastic, but it would go against product red branding. Here, look at this. Look at this guy.
Okay, so
he made a black and red one.
Okay.
So, and it looks really nice.
That's impressive.
But he also broke one in the process. So this, cost him like $1,000.
Charity,
to do this.
Man. It's the cause.
That's true.
It's the cause.
That's true. And then other people say, well, why don't you just buy any other phone and then donate to the Red Foundation, which great if you do that. But the fact of the matter is, I would assume the majority of that $130 million that Apple's been able to raise for this charity came from people who wouldn't have otherwise went home and said, I'm going to buy a blue one and then just go home and, donate $5 or whatever it might be. So I don't see where, you know, where the negative is about the red. If you don't like the red, don't buy the red. There's five other colors that they have. Buy one of the other five colors. The red is the sixth color for the iPhone 7 line, and it goes to a good cause.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
But for you, though, would you would you buy this?
You know what? I was just holding that in my hand and that is wishing the question. I had a phone about this size.
Every week, I ask you, would you buy something?
Yes. I would buy this. I would buy this.
Would you buy that exact color, though?
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay. Because last week, you were hesitant because you were like, I don't want people looking at me or noticing me.
Yeah, maybe I'm feeling a little bit more ambitious these days. I don't know. But actually, the thing that that is making me want this right now is this size is so nice. That's why the S8.
Right. So the thing, so the S8, the regular S8 is pretty much this size. But this is pretty much the size of the S8 with a 5.8-inch display.
So the screen on the S8 is larger than the iPhone 7 Plus.
Right.
But the...
The body size is iPhone 7.
Wow.
Like, yeah, it's...
Okay,
it
that
is
drives
nice.
It home.
It's nice. In fact, someone said the S8 is the best thing to happen in the smartphone industry. I don't know if I agree with that. You mean in history? I don't know if I agree with that in history. Yeah. I think the iPhone was the big thing in history back in 2007 that really had a huge shift. But... over the last several years, yes, I think the S8 really is the next, you know, that's where phones are going. And regardless of what anyone says, Samsung led the way there with this release. So I'm excited to get it in my hands, you know, in the leisure of my home versus in a, you know, big crowd of people all trying to get their hands on it. I anxiously await the true details on the anniversary iPhone.
Says John Cramps.
Yes, the true details. I mean, none of us will know the true details until Apple shows them. But the big rumor is that they're going to basically give us something similar to the S8.
Yeah.
Something, you know, basically an S8 that runs iOS. We'll see.
All right, good stuff. We will hang around and chat with the folks on the live stream. But for people listening on the podcast, thanks very much. Don't forget, go to iTunes, search Geared Up, or go to geekwire.com/geared up. Subscribe. Also go to youtube.com/AndrewEdwards, Andrew with a U, and make sure that you get notified when we go live.
Yeah, tap on that bell. You'll find out when we drop new videos. And thanks for joining us.
Until next time, I'm Todd Bishop.
I'm Andrew Edwards.
You're listening to Geared Up on GeekWire. Talk to you next week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Geared Up, the weekly tech and gadget podcast. Check out more of Andrew's reviews at youtube.com/gearlive and follow all of our coverage at geekwire.com.